This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I want to play you some highlights from the weekend because it was glorious. Sox sweep the Tigers. They're playing tonight at 7:10 on the South Side. We're your exclusive home of White Sox baseball. This is a can't-miss broadcast tonight. 6:30 pregame. Fleck and Abdallah on right after us. Then we go to Connor McKnight at 6:30. And Len and DJ have your first pitch at around 7:10.
Watch this. I'm building it up like a regular season playoff contest because of the two teams and the two pitchers, and I hope it doesn't fall flat.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right to build it up. It should. These are,
I love it.
Like in all the power rankings, the Sox and the Rays are in the top four or five. Yeah. Like, I think the Sox are three in the ESPN one or one that they did today somewhere. I heard on The Athletic, they're number one. So it varies wherever you go. But, you know, then now with the cup snake and everything like that, I'm getting a lot of the tweets. This is exactly why Wrigley is Wrigley. This is why Wrigley people go to party. Like, you cannot watch a minute of that game and say to yourself that that wasn't a crowd that was into the game. Whether it was Friday, whether it was Saturday, or whether it was Sunday. Sure, are there people who want to be there for the atmosphere?
Yeah.
And who love to drink and want to cup snake it up? That's cool. But
can
that,
do both.
That is a crowd that was into the game, like standing up with two strikes, standing up during the 14-pitch Rizzo at bat. That wasn't a crowd that didn't care about baseball. Come on now. I mean, let's ease up on these stereotypes here.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about those people.
Here's a tweet from my buddy Nate. There's a text from my buddy Nate.
Nate Dogg.
Nate's a good dude. Nate is a huge Cubs fan. He says, I'm listening to the show. I spent Saturday and Sunday at Wrigley. And I'll say this to describe it because Katie and I talked about it at length. Wrigley has a magic to it where when you walk in, your emotions are enhanced, good and bad. But when you're there, your emotions are spiked every single time. And when you combine that with 35,000 people not giving a care in the world, letting loose, just enjoying being around each other, the emotions go up even more. It was euphoria, man. Really was. I'm exhausted from laughing so hard over there over the weekend. Outside of going to the World Series in a playoff game, it was the top Wrigley moment of my life. It was perfect.
Well, we're coming out of a pandemic as well,
well
which
that's
enhances.
What I think
yeah, so
that's what he's alluding to.
Yeah, I get it. I get exactly what he's saying.
Let's go to Brent. Brent and Madison, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brent?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing today?
Good. We're good.
So you were talking about the cup snake and arguing about the measuring of the cup snake.
Yeah,
And I just wanted to point out that the longer the cup snake gets, it's going to dip in the middle, and it's going to cause those cups to separate.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're going to have a longer space between, you know, from lip to lip.
Okay, I get it. That's what Bleck was sort of alluding to earlier, that they're not all crushed together.
Right, right. And the longer it gets, the more you're going to have that separation.
Simple geometry, right, Brent?
I don't
right.
know. Yeah, I don't know. All right, Brent, thank you.
No real math, Tom. No real math.
What did he say?
I don't know. What'd you say, Brent?
No real math.
No real math. Okay,
no, no real math. Yeah.
Geometry or is it health?
I don't know. I was joking.
I learned about all this in health class.
If you saw how they do math today in
school.
Driver's
out for me.
It'd be crazy. You'd be like, no effing way. Mm-mm. No chance.
No way.
Like, my daughter sits down and does math work.
Oh, yeah.
And I have absolutely no concept of what she's doing.
Oh, I've heard about this. It's called new math, right? And there's no wrong answers. There's just stars given out, and there's little smiles.
No.
Isn't that part of the deal?
The way they teach it is
different.
No,
isn't there a new math thing?
That
it's called new math, and there's like, you don't really have to have a real answer because nothing is real in this world.
Well,
I
think that's a description for some things, but not
I don't know. I'm not seven, so I'm not in those classes.
Well, my kids aren't seven either. I'm saying when my 17-year-old sits down and does a junior, she's a junior in high school and does math homework.
Yeah, they figure it differently
crazy.
Now.
They
right.
do things differently.
They don't
now.
Do things like the multiplication tables.
Like
we used to.
No, like my wife was teaching basic math to kids and. like just a basic addition problem, like, you know, like 403 plus 79, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just putting it on top of each other.
Yeah, they do it different.
They do. I'm like, what? Why can't you just put it on top of each other? And she's like, well, that's not how we teach. And I go, but this is way more work.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, is it more work than the way?
It's like more writing. Like, it's way more writing.
All of it is.
Instead of just going to the back and looking for the answers.
I have no idea what my daughter is doing at this point with her math class.
Alan Lakeview, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
So, yeah, I had a couple of positives, a couple of negatives from being at the Sox game, the previous homestand. You know, a couple of fans tried to get the sneak going, and they got tossed right away. And one fan caught a opposing team's home run. We cheered him on to throw it back. He throws it back. He gets booted.
Oh, really? For throwing a ball back?
Yeah. For throwing the ball back. Secured right on him. And that was that. What one positive, though, we got the wave going, and it went for the entire inning.
Now, you like the wave. Carmen did a poll on this. I mean, I really don't care about the wave, but I've never been a huge fan of the wave in Chicago.
You know, being star for baseball for a year, we needed the wave, and it rocked.
Do you like third down noise as well?
No.
No, okay. Right. No.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. Where's Carmen's?
He's not a beret guy.
Not a beret, yeah.
The way Carmen said, the wave at professional sporting events, .. yay or nay. And only 27% are in the yay mode. 72.7% are in the nay.
For reasons that you can't see, it's irritating because now you're impeding my view. Is that what it is?
Oh, yes and yes. Okay. Yes, all of it. You got to continue to stand up. It's
what
sort
if I don't
of like
participate?
Just,
Do I have to? I don't have to participate in it if I
don't
want
the
to.
The grobber for years. Whenever they would try and start the wave, and I was a young reporter, I'd always be near Les at a press box. Mm-hmm. And he would sound off on the wave. If anyone, we don't do the wave in Chicago.
Why?
Because Chicago it's fans are supposed
leagues?
To be educated fans, and it's more for people who have to create fake noise.
How does the
and
grobber
stuff.
Feel about the beer snake?
I would think the beer snake...
Not going to go over well.
What would the grobber say about the beer snake?
What is Freddie saying about it?
I would think Fred would...
Fred loves beer.
He loves beer. I think he'd shock you and be pro-beer snake.
Okay.
I think I think he'll say, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to be a big fan of it, but I don't have a problem with people if that's what they want to do.
I'm going to guess he's anti-beer snake because he's saying you should be getting a craft beer in a can.
Okay,
that's fair.
Stack cans.
But you can't drink a canned beer though at the game. They take the can away from you.
Rather not drink it.
Can you get him on the line? We should play a round of what will Fred's answer be?
What will Fred say?
Okay, so to get in on this, I'm going to suggest he does not like the cup snakes.
I'm going to say that as well.
Because it's wasting some beer. There's something in the bottom that's being spilt.
They're not finishing their beer.
And two, it's not baseball, and he is a strong baseball man.
Yes.
So
you're
not
paying attention.
Listen, if Fred's sitting, wherever Fred is sitting, and he is keeping score, and beer spills on his score book.
God forbid.
No, I mean, he's not keeping score, is he?
Why not? He's a good baseballman.
baseball man. Boy, I told you. I love baseball. There's nothing worse than keeping score. Keeping score sucks.
Yeah, I got no interest in that.
When we had to keep the book in softball, you had to keep the book in high school. You don't want to be the kid who had to keep the book. Who wants to keep the book?
Freddie there. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred here.
Yeah. Freddie!
Hey, guys.
And remember, you're on the Corona hotline. Yeah. So
okay, we're 3-1, right?
We're
because
taking a vote.
Said,
yeah, yeah.
You've said you're fine
don't,
with
don't
it.
Tell. Don't yeah. tell them what the okay. way we voted. Do you like the beer snake? Are you indifferent to the beer snake, or are you opposed to the beer snake?
I don't like it.
Damn it.
Yeah, winner,
they
winner.
Watch the damn game. and the wave is 100% better than the,
really?
Than the beer snake.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Why?
The beer, the wave doesn't bother you. Yeah, I've sat through many waves going to ball games for a long time.
Have you
sat through many waves?
Have you participated in it?
No, never.
Okay,
never.
Never once.
So you'll stay seated. You'll stay seated while everyone else goes. Oh,
yes. People I'm with. The thing is, it's so quick. It's up and down. It takes people are in your way longer when they're going to get a beer. Than it is doing the wave.
Okay,
they're
so
up and down. That's fine.
Your explanation for why you don't like the beer snake.
Oh, my God. Where do we start? I mean, they're not watching the game. They don't have no idea what's going on. They're spilling beer all over the people that are sitting around them. I heard you guys talking about people that sit in the bleachers. No, there's not a bleacher section that says these are for the degenerates. These are for the people that want to see the game.
They're not degenerates. They're just more of a party. They're there for a party, Fred. Like, you know, when you go to certain place, certain bars, you know you're going to get a different atmosphere.
A concert's for the party. A ball game is not for the party. You party when something good happens in the game, not because you got a bunch of cups stacked up. That's not why you party. You party because Rizzo hit a home run. You party because Jack Peterson hit a ball.
Not everyone watches baseball like us.
Do you think anybody saw Jack Peterson who hit a ball that he thought was a home run, but it wasn't, that he should have been in third instead of second? But no, they were building a snake.
I call him Jack Peterson these days.
Oh, my God.
Because he's been going deep.
Except that one time.
You're right about
when he stands there.
Two times.
He thought he was Javi Baez.
Remember the sacrifice fly, too.
He's pimped a few of them that didn't turn out to be basket catchers.
I know.
Fred, love you, man.
All right, thank you, Fred.
Well,
interrupting
you
Fred
too.
Watching the Euros, so he's got to get back to the great Spain-Sweden game.
I'm saying prayers for Christian Eriksen.
So. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Good point.
So. That was
scary.
I read all about it. I did not see the video of it. The one thing that there are a few things to be thankful about it. A, he seems to be doing okay now. And then B, here's what I'm thankful about. We talked about vaccines a little bit earlier. I don't know if you guys have read. The doctors are now saying that A, he didn't have COVID and he didn't get the vaccine. Because this would have been like, if he had the vaccine, people would have said the vaccine caused the heart attack. Do you know what I mean?
So I'm just Was it a heart attack? Is that what they've diagnosed him with?
Cardiac arrest. Yeah. Okay. They said he was gone.
Yeah. They had to resuscitate him. I know that.
So, I mean, I'm thankful for both of those things. So we're not arguing over why a soccer player, why that happened to him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just glad that, like everybody else, that they were able to immediately step onto the field and take care of what was going on with them.
All right, Abdallah asked for something before the weekend. He said, I want to see the White Sox beat better teams. I still care about their record against good teams. They did win 2 out of 3 from Toronto, but I want to give you a stat on that, on the how important it is to beat good teams. That's coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Much like the people who yell at Cubs fans, see, that's why it's a beer garden. And that's why they don't care about baseball. Stereotypes. You also have people who will take away from the White Sox for beating Detroit. You know what I mean? Like, there are people like, oh, yeah, you swept Detroit. Like, it's almost like it's a negative instead of a positive. You went in there for the first time, believe it or not, since 2008 and swept them at their ballpark. So it's not like this is done every year. You take it. You add up the wins, and at the end of the season, you hope you have home field advantage, and you win your division. That's what you hope for.
I think if you're raging against them beating bad teams, that's weird. Acknowledging that it's these are two separate conversations, it's great. That's what you have to do. That's the start of a championship season, is beating the teams you're supposed to beat. But then measuring yourself against the other good teams in whatever sport you're playing in is, you know, I think that's part of the process. We do it with the Bears. We did it last year.
Sure. I'm just saying with baseball, and look, I'd rather beat the good teams than not beat the good teams. You know, like my team, we've talked about, they have swept the Dodgers, they've swept the Padres, they've swept the Mets, and they've swept the Cardinals all at home this year.
Very impressive.
That's impressive. But truly, the amount of wins is really all that matters, and you can do that and still get swept or lose the wild card game. You could get swept in the first round of the postseason.
Well, all you can do is play the teams that are on your schedule. The Cubs have had teams on their schedule that collectively have better records to this point probably than the White Sox have.
So Chuck Garfine, I don't know if you saw this, tweeted out the 2005 records against teams. Remember, they led wire to wire. They won, I think, 99 games that year. And then they went on to win the World Series, and they did it in dominating fashion. I think they lost one game. They were 11-1 the entire run. So let me just go and give you the records against the teams in the regular season that they faced in the postseason. They faced the Red Sox in the first round. The White Sox were 3-4 against the Red Sox that year. They beat the Angels in the ALCS. The White Sox were 4-6 against the Angels that year. Obviously, I don't think they played the Astros, but they were 14-5 against the Tigers. They were 13-5 against the Royals. Against the Yankees, they were just 3-3. And against the A's, where they've always had problems, they were 2-7. The point of this is, you would like them to do well against Tampa tonight. You would. You would like to see them do well in this series and say, it's a good measuring stick. But the truth is, if they get swept and they win their division, they could easily sweep Tampa in the postseason.
Of course.
So I thought it was a good food for thought. That, I mean, like, it does mean something, but really, does it?
Well, this is 162 games. I mean, there's a lot of analyzing that goes along. Again, they have played a schedule where they have taken care of business, and you don't fault them in any way, shape, or form. But when your team is really good, you'd like to see how you compare to some of the better teams. It's part of the evaluation process.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose this series, nobody is going to sit here and say, well, the White Sox, you know what, they're
we
not very good.
We will get that call. We'll get that call. We'll get C. They're not that good. We'll get C when they have to play Tampa. And again, I've just always have raged against it. People used to throw that in my face in 15 and 16. I want a team that takes care of the games they should. And then if they go 500 against the teams that are really good, that will always add up to an outstanding record.
Absolutely.
At the end of the year.
Yes.
So, I want to play you a little highlights from both sides of town. It was a fantastic weekend. Both teams, the Cubs are tied with the Brewers. The White Sox now are 41-24. They are 5.5 games up in the standings, and both teams swept their opponents.
The pitch. Muscled in the air out in the right. It'll get down for a hit. Moncada will score, and it's 1-0 White Sox. Bloop single for Jose. Haas takes a called third. He dropped in a beautiful slider. Rodon strikes out the side. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. 8 strikeouts for Rodon. No hitting the Tigers through 5.
Lined into right center field. Another 2-out run crosses the plate. It's 2-0 Chicago.
One simple error for the Cardinals leads into back-to-back base hits. A breaking ball this time, Matty. You were exactly right. Not looking for the fastball. Curveball down. Hits it down. RBI single. And Bryant with excellent base running first to third. And the Cubs are looking very energized in a much different Cubs offense that we saw earlier in the year.
What a difference fans in the ballpark makes.
It's amazing how good Kimbrel is.
Oh,
he is so good right now.
Unhittable.
Just fooling everyone. People are expecting a fastball, and it's an off-speed pitch.
The key to him, too, is his command. Like, remember, you know, the first half of last year was better, right? But
yeah.
I can remember when he first got here, he couldn't throw a strike.
Well, yeah, and I always remember they just said he was telegraphing what he was throwing. And they knew. Remember that game? I had my high school reunion, I think it was 2 summers ago, that July night. I think it was July 26th, 19. And it was the game. I think he allowed 2 home runs to the Brewers on a Saturday night. And it was like, it was then when you said to yourself, maybe Kimbrel isn't that good anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe the Red Sox knew what they were getting and why they, you know, they moved him out of that role towards the end of the postseason. But again, he had nothing working for him either the last couple of years with no spring training and no, he sat out and the Cubs didn't sign him till mid-year the first year. And last year, the COVID start and stop and start again. And to me, what it reminds me of Darvish. Like, Darvish was better in 19. He still wasn't fantastic. Towards the end of the year, he got good.
Right.
But then he dominated in 2020. Last year, Kimbrel was better at the end of the year. But it's not close to the way he's throwing the baseball right now.
He's dominant. I mean, he is unhittable at this point. it just, again, it like there are very few guys that are good year in and year out in a bullpen. It is the most unpredictable part of any team. I've said it 1,000 times. It's no mystery. If you look year to year, it is hard to explain sometimes why guys are good one year and not the next year. In a lot of ways, it's probably the reason why they are in a bullpen.
Didn't they talk about that with Tapera last night, too? That Tapera was, I don't think they even really wanted him. At the end of last year, then he ended up coming back for cheap. And now he's really, like, Tapera's been great. Chafin's been great.
Well, two things. It makes Jed look very astute in terms of the decisions he's made. And Tommy Hotovy and their coaching staff throughout their system, they deserve credit because these are guys that they have developed and they've got all pointed in the right direction.
So isn't this a good example of why you maybe do sign the free agents and then you go young? Kind of like, remember how I used to say with, before they traded Jimmy, I always wanted the Bulls to go Jimmy and the kids. That you have your star, you still have them, but yet you're developing a bunch of young guys. And if you happen to be not so good, you get a good draft pick. But if the kids blossom with Jimmy, you have a star and now you have better players. You know, you don't have to worry about finding that one or two. So why not sign Bryant? Why not sign Javi? Maybe even Rizzo, and then you fill in the gaps with sort of the guys that they've been able to. Then you go cheaper around the other position. So, yes, it's very top-heavy, but then you let your scouting be better than the other teams. And I'm not, again, there could be some luck involved in here, and again, we'll wait to see about regression, but they've shown you pretty well that they have, that, like, even on the build-up, they got Arrieta, right? Like, who would have thought Arrieta was going to be this good? The Dempster deal got Kyle Hendricks. He was kind of a throw-in. He wasn't highly thought of. So if you're able to let your scouting eye work with your good players in place, aren't you able to do both where you're competing and you're developing the kids at the same time?
You would think so, and you could create some stability if you had been inclined to sign a couple of these guys to contract extensions, which none of them are signed to. And now you've got a lot of decisions to make. So,
like, you don't need to reset. They're showing you right now that, yes, we can find guys like Duffy, you know, who was pretty good with the Giants and Rays at times.
Yeah,
and he just has been out of baseball. And look, there's a reason why we have Wisdom. Wisdom's a former first-round pick, but who would have thought he'd be doing this? And like, Nico was a good player before he got hurt. And then, you know, all of a sudden now Alcantara is showing you that he can do stuff. And they're like, okay, we'll get rid of Schwarber, but we'll sign a guy who can do basically as much, if not more, than Schwarber can do. You know, so, like, if they're showing you all of that, why not just sign the guys? You could still be below the luxury tax, and then develop young position players all the way around the field.
Again, I find it interesting that, and maybe it's players that wanted to visit free agency or didn't think they were getting the offers that they deserved, but none of those guys ever signed contract extensions throughout. And you are now going to be left with some really massive decisions at the end of the 2021 baseball season. Or maybe those are decisions that they don't think are very difficult to make.
Meeting what?
Well, maybe they've already decided that at the end of the year, we're going to sign this guy and nobody else. I don't know what their decision's going to be. Like, if they get to where they want to go this year, it's going to be in large part, yes, guys have stepped in. Wisdom has done what he's done, this bullpen. But you win a World Series because Chris Bryant is an MVP caliber right. player, and Javi is a difference maker, and Willie is a difference maker, and Rizzo gets back. It continues this trend of being the guy that he always is. And at the end of the day, I mean, you got to make some decisions. Who's going to be part of your organization going forward? These guys are all going to be 29 or 30 or more going forward. It's just really, at the end of the day, they didn't come to terms with any of their guys on long-term
deals. Not yet. Nope. And Wilson Contreras, I always point out, is the next guy. All right. We got Waddle's World coming up. We have a football to discuss. The Aaron Rodgers stuff got messier over the weekend. And we have news on Allen Robinson, too. So much to get to.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you're here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Somebody's calling me from Buckley, Washington. I've never seen that number before.
You know, I had a couple of calls from Poland last week. Is that just someone entering fake number?
Or somebody wanted to make sure you were going to watch the Polish national team play.
Yeah.
Because they were on earlier today, right? They got upset. By the way, Waddle's World's brought to all of us by our great sponsors at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit Wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Javi's not in the lineup tonight. Javi's got some residual thumb pain. So he was a scratch yesterday, and he is a scratch again today.
Late in the game, he grabbed a bat like he was going to pinch hit, and instead they went with Hayward. And then wasn't he eating popcorn during the game, too?
I did not see that. I was mesmerized by the beer snake, and I couldn't pay attention. But Alcantara will take over shortstop.
It was a carnival, beer snakes and popcorn.
It was unbelievable. And that update on Javi's thumb condition is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. No need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu. You will get DeGrom, I believe, on Wednesday. You're going to see DeGrom.
I'm excited for that.
Are you? Did you know that his ERA has been lowered to 0.56?
It's incredible.
And he is the favorite currently to win the National League MVP in the betting circles.
You should. I mean, even if the team doesn't advance, it doesn't matter that you're a pitcher. When you're doing stuff that no pitcher has ever done before,
yeah.
I don't know if I thought I could see another pitcher dominate the way Jake did in that span.
Very Jake-like.
Well, I think this is even better over a longer stretch now. And then, like you said earlier, what he has driven in 5 and allowed 4.
I thought I read that somewhere, that he's driven in more runs than he's given up.
It's incredible.
He's pumping the radar gun at over 100 consistently.
I don't know how he got to throw that fast.
Okay, on the other there are other baseball topic for you in terms of pitchers. Bob Nightingale, I sent you guys this. A copy of this tweet yesterday, whenever it was.
Yeah, yesterday.
He tweeted out, this past week had the lowest spin rate of any week this season, and the impact is quite clear with batting averages up and strikeouts down. And I also believe it was reported by Buster Olney this weekend that Major League Baseball is finalizing a memo on a rule or the rules against using a foreign substance by a pitcher.
Right.
So they're putting the final touches on a memo that will detail the sports rule against foreign substances, with the expectation, sources say, that the document will be forwarded to teams sometime in the next few days and presented to coaching staffs and players.
And Carmen did an experiment with Yurko, with Merkin. Cap is pitching today in a one of those adult baseball leagues that he's in.
The old man baseball.
They're trying to convince him to use this spider tack just to see.
Oh, he's going
to
do it.
Well, I don't know. He didn't sound. I bet you he doesn't do it. And I hope he does do it, because then he could talk firsthand about if he feels like he got a little more spin rate on his fastball.
I heard them talking about this as well. Like, it's not like a Major League Baseball game where they've got unlimited supply of baseballs. Like, I think each team supplies 2 or 3.
Two. Each team gets 2 baseballs, he was saying.
Look, if you put your fingers into that goo.
Ooh, and then, it stinks,
and then,
too.
Then put it on a baseball. Like, that baseball is going to be tacky whoever touches it next.
Right.
Like, well,
do you remember when the ball stuck to Yadier Molina's chest protector several years ago? Was it 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
It was probably because it had this stuff on it.
Can you imagine fielding a ground ball and then having to throw that to first without being like, wow, man, that's going to affect how I throw that baseball.
Right. Now, if you're a Major League Baseball player, the pitchers are only using that baseball, like, basically one per hitter. So the odds of the the position player fielding it and throwing it exactly where the pitcher put the goo on it less,
to
right?
To me, if you're...
This is Breaking News, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook, on Chicago's home for sports.
Is this for Bieber?
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
No, Shane Bieber's going to the IL, but that's not what this is about. This is some good news.
Ooh, good news.
According to the White Sox, Eloy Jimenez has been medically cleared to resume baseball activities at the White Sox complex in Arizona. This phase of the rehabilitation process is estimated to take a minimum of 4 weeks, after which Eloy could be cleared for a rehab assignment with a Sox affiliate.
Ah, there you go.
That's good news.
That's incredible
news. That's good news.
That's good news.
Talking July at some point, maybe?
Yeah. I think we look after the All-Star break, right?
That changes the calculus as well with regard to what the Sox would or would not potentially do going out to grab a bat.
And then it will be interesting to see the way they juggle. Now, it's a good problem to have, but they will. Does Vaughn play left? Does Eloy play left?
I thought Vaughn caught that ball yesterday, too.
Does Eloy DH? Like, there are some interesting things to discuss.
I don't think you put Eloy in left field.
You don't?
I don't.
Vaughn, but I mean, if he's more into the game that way, is bat so dynamic?
I don't know. I just, I'm not.
You throw him at DH and then Mercedes is just.
You're fine. I don't know what you do, but, you know, I'm not putting Eloy in left field consistently.
That surprised me. Did you? You guys weren't expecting any news like that today, were you? Like, there were a lot of people thinking, like, September for Eloy. Yeah. Like, four weeks in Arizona and then a rehab stint. But he's not going to spend a long time, maybe a week. Think. A week in seeing minor league baseball, and then sometime after the All-Star. When's the All-Star break end, boys? And when is it this year? It's usually mid-July, like July 11th, July 12th. So, I'm going to guess July 22nd. How about that?
That's when he's going to come back?
I have July 22nd on the Eloy returns pool.
Okay, the White Sox last game before the All-Star break is Sunday, July 11th, when they're going to beat up on the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
So July 11th is the last game before the All-Star break. Did you watch any NBA basketball yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I watched. I was in and out of the Milwaukee-Brooklyn game. I lost that one.
I thought you were going to say you were in and out of the pool. I thought you were in the pool.
I was mostly in the pool.
Okay.
But then when I would go out of the pool, I'd check the game. I'm like, really? They're down 12? And then the Kyrie injury?
Yeah, well, that series is tied at 2 in large part because of the injury to Kyrie. When I watch him turn that ankle, I feel my foot and my ankle hurt. That was one that looks like that. I can't imagine.
Ugly, yeah. And he left on crutches and in a walking boot.
I saw that the x-rays were negative, but like that doesn't look like something you just come back from.
Well, the x-rays are simply just to see if there's a break.
Correct.
Like a sprain can keep you out for 6 weeks.
No doubt.
It could be ligaments torn.
I'd be surprised if he's available anytime soon.
Now this series turned on a dime, did it not?
Yes.
I mean, it was an ugly game 3, but then now the injury in game 4. Now all of a sudden, 2 games ago, we were wondering, do the Bucks get swept? Now, will the Bucks lose another game in this series? The question sort of is.
Yeah, and Kyrie is out for game 5.
Yeah. What about Harden? What are they saying about Harden?
That he's progressing, but they're still not saying to what extent. And, that he has to go, like, full go. I think Malika was saying he has to go full go in some very high intensity workouts. And it's just like, I know it's a different muscle. Wasn't AD a groin, and this is a hamstring with Harden?
Yes, I believe so.
But still, they're equally as nagging. You know, hamstrings could last a long, long time. And we saw that AD could get cleared before a game when you're doing stuff, but then as soon as you're looking to explode and to defend, like I don't know.
How does everyone feel about Jokic being removed from last night's game? I was against it.
Totally against it.
Okay, that's 2 votes against.
Totally against it. It's stupid.
Anybody else?
We're both against it.
Okay, so
it makes no sense.
I didn't. He got the majority of the. I saw he. Cameron Payne did get his nose. There was contact.
Fine. You flagrant one.
Yes. Yes.
Fine.
There was a whole lot of LeBron James in his response, I thought.
Right. to get kicked out of a game.
Yeah, that did not make sense to me.
In that situation, it is the they had to review it too, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a time that everyone gets together and go, like, it's Jokic, it's 3-0. And then you put in the Robert Parrish tape, right, where he's beating up Bill Laimbeer
He punched Bill Laimbeer, and I don't think a foul was called.
Like, all the arms are flailing. You see Larry Bird or someone tackle Kurt Rambis. Maybe it was McHale. I know that's old school. This is not kick yourself out of the game worthy.
Look, I'm not even going to make the argument he's your MVP. Okay, I'm going to make the argument. I just didn't think it was a foul by anybody that was worthy of being ejected from the game.
And he was going a lot for the ball. It was one of those stupid frustration fouls.
Yeah.
Very frustrating and not totally clean, no. Like you said, he caught pain in the face a little bit. But that is not, I've seen way, way dirtier where there's not even a flagrant being called. Yeah. This league right now, the way they call flagrants is ridiculous.
I've got the Sixers and the Clippers tonight. Anybody? You think Atlanta bounces back at home tonight? I don't. I think the Sixers.
Yeah, I was wrong on that. I've been wrong on the last two NBA games that I've tried to gamble on.
Okay. I've got a friendly Barry Bonds.
That's incredible.
A man swallowed by a whale and explosive diarrhea all coming up next.
Wait, you always have explosive diarrhea.
When we return.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
A quick White Sox update for you. I believe Garcia will play third tonight. Moncada is out with a cold. So that's a little
congestion.
Yeah, he's cold and congestion.
Yeah, needs a little.
You know, cold still exists.
Vitamin C and a Claritin D.
Yeah, a little stuffy.
So, White Sox baseball at 6:30, and then the Aloy news that we just broke in with in the last 15 minutes that he's getting cleared here for baseball activities that will be a minimum of 4 weeks in Arizona, then a rehab stint after that. We could see him at the end of July.
Boom.
If we're doing our math correct here, and a lot of people were worried if he'd...
A lot of math in today's show.
Yeah, you got to count sometimes.
You know what I do when I get a cold? I subscribe to National Bourbon Day. I have a nice tall glass of bourbon.
That's how just Carmen lives.
Yeah.
Carmen, this is like National Bourbon Day. How is this day any different than the 364 that Carmen lives that isn't National Bourbon Day?
Day that ends in a Y. I'm going to save the Barry Bonds is friendly and nice and has a smile on his face story for about 4:15 because I need to...
Dogs are awesome.
Yes. Here's the title of this next story. Explosive diarrhea halts production on NBC's Ultimate Slip and Slide competition show.
Oh, whoa. They have a slip and slide show and they had a little bit of a slipping and sliding going on in the pants?
It's officially a crappy situation.
Ah!
Production on NBC's upcoming competition show Ultimate Slip and Slide halted after more than 36 crew members were sickened by an outbreak of what's been described as awful explosive diarrhea.
Is that from the slide? From the slip and slide?
The sickening conditions left people collapsing on set and being forced to run into porta potties. Oh. A source with knowledge of the incident told the paper, "The health and safety of everyone on our set is our number one priority. So, out of an abundance of caution, we have made the decision to stop production of Ultimate Slip and Slide at the current location." Many infected crew members blamed the mess on a lack of fresh, clean water being used in the slip and slide competitions.
Isn't that like priority number one?
They didn't just use the backyard hose like everybody else does?
I don't even think that. It sounds
like
they're using
the hose
sewage
to someone's backyard.
Funny you say that, because the quote from NBC last month, "This wet and wild new series takes the spirit of the classic backyard slide and transforms it into a real-life water park full of gigantic slippery rides with a chance to take home a big cash prize or poop your shorts."
You know what they say, Waddle? Waddle, the production is in the crapper.
Awful crappy situation. Now it's time for the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Lobster diver injured when caught in whale's mouth.
Oof.
Let's go to Barnstable, Mass. A commercial lobster diver who got caught in the mouth of a humpback whale off the coast of Cape Cod on Friday morning said he thought he was going to die. Michael Packard was released from Cape Cod Hospital He says he was 45 feet deep in the waters off Provincetown when all of a sudden I felt this huge bump and everything went dark. He thought he'd been attacked by a shark, common in the area waters, but then realized he could not feel any teeth and he wasn't in any pain. Then I realized, oh my God.
I'm in the whale's belly.
I'm in a whale's mouth and he's trying to swallow me. Ooh. And I thought to myself, okay, this is it. I'm going to die. He thought of his wife and children. He estimates he was in the whale's mouth for about 30 seconds, but continued to breathe because he still had his breathing apparatus in. Ooh. Then the whale surfaced, shook its head, and spit him out. He was rescued by his crewmate in the surface boats.
Where would that rank on a way to die? Where, like, the whale doesn't chew you, but it swallows you whole.
You become whale poop.
And you have enough breathing on where you would get into the belly, and you know it's going to go. I mean, that's got to be...
That's nightmare fuel for me. I like tonight when I go to bed and that's on my mind, there will be a time.
You're claustrophobic to begin with.
You guys didn't dream of being Pinocchio when you were kids?
No, I did not. I did wake up Saturday, like at 2:30 in the morning in a pool of sweat, my heart beating about 300 beats a minute because I was having a dream that I was caught underneath a fence and I couldn't get out. And I woke up in a panic and I didn't get back to sleep until like 4
in the morning. Fence? Just any fence?
I don't know. That's all I remember is being stuck in a fence.
You were stuck in the fence?
Underneath the fence, trying to go underneath it.
Trying to get out of jail?
I don't know what it was, but I couldn't get back to sleep until 4 in the morning.
Wow.
It was a panic dream. Hey, you want to play a game?
Yeah!
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Tampa, Florida, Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leader in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Make sure you use promo code...
Chicago. Well, Dal, I had the triple play last night.
I've heard this story twice.
I had a haircut with the lawnmower 3.0. Mm-hmm. I manscaped with the 3.0, and I shaved my face. Not with the lawnmower, but that's what you call... The Manscaped trifecta.
You want to turn around for everybody and show us the Bryant?
Yeah, you have the Chris Bryant. Your wife, Allie, gave you the Chris Bryant cut. So she, like, shaved your head, the back of your head. Don't lean back. Yeah, there you go, like that.
Hold on, I'm zooming in. Hold on. Yeah, see how you
see
got,
this area
you got the point.
Here?
I
can't see it at all.
Yeah, like right there. Lean your head back a little bit. There you go. Yeah, it's like a point.
Saves me a ton of money on haircuts. Yeah.
It kind of looks like the back here. Do you guys remember in the 90s, everyone had the bowl cut?
You're saying I look like I have a bowl cut?
Yeah, the moat.
On the back. Look at the back. Look at the back there.
Right here,
a little floppy on the back.
Right? Little peaky blinders.
Little underneath.
Peaky blinders action. Yeah, it's good.
A little floppy underneath.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't mind the flop.
Man steals bow and arrow, shoots at people in a van.
That's Cincinnati. Like, you don't use bow and arrows in Florida.
Man was arrested after people say he stole a bow and arrow and used it to shoot at a van with people inside of it.
Vans are popular in Cincinnati.
They're popular everywhere.
More so in Cincinnati. I'm going to Ohio.
Police say around 8:20 a.m. after witnesses say a man later identified as 24-year-old Gerontios Guinness? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Was shooting at people with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Wow. This is an alligator hunter, a crocodile, whatever they have down in the swamps.
Don't they use guns for that?
I don't know. One guy could use a bow and arrow. I'm going Florida.
That guy's usually dead.
Gainesville. It's Florida.
Okay.
A man stole a bow and arrow and shot at people in a van in Warren, Ohio.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Good call, Waddle.
The land of bow and arrows.
We have some football stuff to discuss. We have news on Allen Robinson. And, let's celebrate the you-know-what show it is in Green Bay. It's up in 2 minutes.